Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jennifer Hellman, and thank you so much for listening to AIR. Tonight's guest is Steve Gunn. He is the wonderful author of a book, When Two Souls Connect. He's also a master metaphysics practitioner, master psychic, master in energy healing, and the list just goes on and on and on. Steve is going to be taking calls tonight, but he would only like general questions on soulmates and karma. No personal situations tonight, if you would please. He would like you to just be contacting him directly on his website for personal readings. So with that, I welcome Steve Gunn to AIR. Thank you so much for doing today's show.
Hi, Jen. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, it's wonderful. By the way, you are the first man guest.
Wow.
I just realized that right before you came on. So, welcome. Now, Steve, you have traveled very far to get exactly where you are. You want to let the audience know a little bit more about you and your many talents?
Wow. Thanks. Yeah. I got into this field, I would say I was pushed into this field by the universe, really. I was aware of psychic, spiritual things from a young age because my mum was very into it, but it's not something I really identified with. But most of the friends of my mum who were psychic said, oh, one day this will happen to you, and I thought, yeah, right. As time went on, I found that certain things happen. I started seeing spirits, the ability woke up, and there came a point in my life where it woke up so much that it was undeniable, and I sort of had to go with it. At that time, I was more okay with the idea, and then I started meeting people who had similar experiences, and gradually started following the path, and then got into it full-time. I took a lot of courses, learned everything I could, studied Reiki, studied metaphysics, because I'm very practical by nature, and I wanted to know what was behind it, what the universe was all about, why there were psychic gifts, why certain things happen. And so I took about 2.5 years out and did nothing but study before I actually practiced it full time. And during that time I had a very bizarre soulmate connection. So that was something else that interested me, the whole how does it all go together, destiny, karma, soulmates, the future, you know, what's out there and how the universe works really. And I'm still learning. So that's the potted history of it, for want of a better term.
So basically the show is mainly going to be about soulmates and karma and the interaction of them both. So let's just get through with the basic. What is a soulmate?
What is a soulmate? on dating boards, it's the ideal partner. But that's not really what a soulmate is. A soulmate, generally, is somebody with whom we have a connection that is beyond the tangible. Somebody with whom we have a spiritual connection, with whom there's an energy we can't explain that beyond the relationship. And although we think of soulmates as about relationships, indeed they are, they're about so much more. Anyone who's had one will understand that there are certain forces at work that are very much more powerful. And some of the signs are, for instance, that it may not be somebody who would be your typical type. It may not be somebody with whom you would normally sort of type of person you run into, but you meet them by accident. There's certain hallmarks of soul connections. And the real key to it is that you feel like there is something happening to you beyond the conventional. It's so deep and so profound. So it's basically a spiritual connection from a past life that causes you to meet up in this life to go through this process and work out some karma. It's often described as the greatest gift and the greatest curse at the same time. And I would agree with that.
Yes, most definitely. So what are some of the other, I mean, I'm sure you get a lot of questions. You are known, your book is wonderful.
Thank you.
I was guided to your book because my own soulmate connection was driving me up the wall, and a dear friend says, Jen, Steve's got this wonderful book. You really need to read it. So I downloaded it and read it, and it really helped me because it was very grounded, very down-to-earth, made perfect sense out of all the craziness that was going on.
Well, thank you. It came about, really, from my own search for sanity, because, as you know, it doesn't matter what one's own psychic gifts are, they aren't a lot of use in these situations.
Yeah.
And I, as part of my research, part of my studies, wanted to understand what was happening to me while I was going through this and how and why it had happened. And so I wrote an article putting out some ideas of the metaphysics and why. And so many people responded and said, yes, that makes sense. So I wrote another one. And the book sort of wrote itself from there. So the reason it was grounded is because I needed something to get answers for me.
Yes. Now, can you have more than one soulmate?
Yes. Yes, the good news and the bad news is you can. and I mean, some people can have 2, 3, even 4 in a lifetime. They're on progressively higher levels, progressively different karma, and it's very much dependent on soul age. So somebody who's a very old soul, somebody who's born into this life, who's had many past lives, has met many people, has a lot of residual karma with them, can meet soulmates on different levels. And they can vary from ones you can get over reasonably quickly to the very difficult ones like you were talking about.
Yes. And it's still there.
Yes, I've been there. I do. I know what that's like.
Well, you know, it's just one of those things. With mine, it's very interesting because I have no physical memory of ever meeting him. So it really has been a spiritual connection where I have telepathic communication with this man.
Yeah.
And I have physical proof that he's getting it, and yet no really physical interaction. So it's something to adjust to, and it really has emphasized, I think, my gift as well. I think of it more of a blessing. At times, you do think you're going totally insane.
Yes. In fact, many people do. I know people who have been convinced they've gone insane and have gone to the doctor. A couple have actually been hospitalized and realized they're not going insane in the classic sense. They're just subject to these amazing forces. And the really interesting thing about soul connections to me is that I often refer to it as soul shock. It's the huge wake-up call to things way beyond the normal physical stuff. And however open, however psychically developed we are, however spiritual we are, these things are an enormous wake-up call to forces that we can't see or touch but are incredibly real. So I believe that's one of the purposes, is to put us in touch with the universe and these forces and spirituality to show us that reality is not all things that we can perceive by the 5 ordinary senses.
Definitely. Now, there's also, what's the difference between a soulmate and then a twin flame, that elusive twin flame energy that...
Depends which website you go on.
Yeah, really?
Again, the term twin flame has a connotation that seems to have only been around for a couple of years, that the twin, that soulmates are all there to hurt you and the twin flame is the perfect partner. The twin flame, in classic metaphysical terms, is the last soulmate, the highest level, because they are on progressive levels. And the twin flame is the ultimate soulmate. The karma is horrendous. The challenges are horrendous, very difficult, extraordinarily painful, and they represent the final culmination of clearing all our karma on this earth. Although modern thinking to a lot of people is that twin flame is the perfect romantic relationship, whereas soulmates are what they call karmic, they're just there to hurt you.
Right.
So there's two. There's the social definition, which, you know, changed with the speed of modems nowadays, and the metaphysical definition.
Definitely. So you mentioned karma. karma. Now, what exactly is karma then? Is it just lessons we've signed up to learn?
Sorry?
Is it just lessons we've signed up to learn with this?
Well, if we did sign, I'd like to unsign, if that's okay.
Yes, really. It's the list. I want the list.
Karma is a law. It's a metaphysical law of the universe. It's a bit like the law of physics, what goes up must come down. In other words, the universe does not allow things to be unfinished or imbalanced. Now, most people think of karma as good or bad, that I must be suffering in this life because I did something to somebody in a past life, which is one aspect of it. But it's simply a law that makes sure
like
the balance is achieved.
Effect?
I'm sorry?
Is it kind of like cause and effect?
Yeah, it's like the pendulum. If it swings one way, at some point it's got to come and swing back the other way to balance things out. So the story with karma is that we can create karma in this life. As we know, if we do things that are not so good, then not so good things will happen to us. But it continues beyond the physical life. So karma is, I like to think of it as unfinished business. It's not just I'm getting punished in this life because I did something bad in the past life, but particularly with soul connections, you meet again and there is unfinished business. So things need to be redressed. It just makes sure, I often also refer to it as the great cosmic accountant, that things have to be balanced, settled, and completed. And just because we leave this life doesn't mean that karma is finished. We have to come back into the next life and complete it.
Now, is everybody, you know, definitely meeting a soulmate in this lifetime?
No. No. It's to do with soul age. Excuse me. I'm sorry, I have a cold, so excuse me if I'm sounding a bit croaky. We meet soul connections of varying degrees, and there are an incredible number of levels of degrees, all the way up to twin flames. Depends on one's soul age. If you're reincarnated in an early life, it's unlikely you would meet one or experience things on that level. But as you come back in progressive lives and your soul progresses, mm-hmm. then you're more likely to meet them. Also, the people you have met, the number of people you've met in previous lives grows, the cast of characters.
Yes, it does. Now, let's say you meet a soulmate, and they decide just not ready for this, and they run. Does that happen quite often?
About 104% of the time.
Just 104?
it's just the most common occurrence that things come in the way. Either they run or somebody intervenes. It seems to be a cycle of four stages. The meeting and recognition, and that incredible recognition of something is going on here beyond the ordinary. Mm-hmm. And people who know people who have met soulmates see the change in them. They see how that person has affected them very profoundly. And then something comes in the way. Usually one of the partners isn't ready, isn't open enough to really understand the connection, is frightened of the connection, or has partners or other issues or friends intervene. Something to separate them. This thing's part of the mechanism. And during that stage, this is when everybody goes through all the grief and pain, which is part of the awakening stage, to really understand about the connection, to really start questioning why, to call lots of psychics, and
yes.
to ultimately go on their own little spiritual journey of why me, why is this happening. And then at some point, depending on the karma, not all soul connections have to reunite, but if the karma is such that they have to reunite, and somewhere down the line is reuniting. And
let me ask a question real quick on that. So basically, somebody could come in your life just to wake you up to your path, to your journey, and
yep.
then disappear, and that's enough to balance the karma they have between those two?
Yeah, if it's an early soulmate experience and there's not karma that requires a reconnection, yes. But the difference is the person who's feeling the loss would stop feeling the loss because the karma is negated. So it's one of those where they feel like a soulmate, but when they've gone, you actually get over it. You actually feel, you don't feel that terrible pull, that terrible angst and anxiety and hell that we go through.
Okay.
When the karma stays, it's always there, even if you haven't seen them for years.
And those generally will then unite to finish their karma out?
Yeah.
So, is there any, I mean, is there really that much difference of reaction between the different levels, or does it basically start the same way and it's just the level of karma that says how far it's going to go?
It's to do with, I mean, for those who've had more than one connection, the first connection feels like the big one, the one, and it's the most painful, the most awesome thing we can experience. But those who've gone on to have another connection realize that the first one pales into insignificance compared to the second one. It's progressive levels of experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the love, the pain, everything gets higher. It's just more and more and more. So, whether we meet two or three or just one or none soul connections in this life, we'll go on to meet others in the next life. And it's a progression. It gets more intense, more painful, which is why I say to people, don't wish for a twin soul because or a twin flame, because the people I know have, you just don't want to take it to that level. There's so much karma and so much pain. The chances of resolving it in this lifetime are much less than a conventional soulmate.
Right. I read somewhere it's like about 6 to 8%, if that, actually meet their twin flame.
Yeah.
During one lifetime.
And the people I've worked with who met twin flames, two have been hospitalized.
Wow.
One committed suicide. You know, they're tragedies. They're massively painful, powerful situations. But the book, if I can just add, where the book came from, I, over some years, after writing this, I kept a mental note of all the cases I dealt with and noticed these patterns that led to the confirming about the karma, confirming about the process. So when the book came out, there's a heck of a lot of practical evidence that, you know, went along with these theories. So again, that's trying to make it very practical and grounded.
Oh, it really is. And you can get that book, just so people know, on your website, which is www.stevegunn.net.
Yep.
And if you go to BBS Radio Abstract Illusion and you click on that link, it doesn't work. And I apologize. For some reason, 20% added to the end, and that's why it screwed up. So if you just take off the 20%, it does go to the link. But I did want to mention that because
Thank you.
Do apologize. And I'm
also available at all good bookstores.
Yes, it is. And it is. And it is a wonderful book. It really is. Now, you see, what are some of the patterns that you can describe that you noticed? Is it just they meet, it's overwhelming, somebody might get afraid and run away, or somebody else intervenes to block it, they go their separate ways, if it's not done, they come back? Is that the basic?
That's the basic premise of a lot of them. And the reason is the residual karma that both parties have is really the fascinating thing. If you actually look and you read what it is that people are meant to go through, just give an example, two people maybe who had a lot of rejection in their lives and are dealing with that rejection, meet a connection, and that person is the answer. It's the ultimate partner. They don't need to feel rejected anymore. And then that partner splits away from them. And far from being the answer, they make that pain of rejection even more. They push it to extreme levels.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very interesting universal law that we're not allowed to need anything from anybody else that we can't find in ourselves. So both partners are put into crisis in order to deal with the rejection and to grow from the experience. And so I find often the universe, rather than just giving us the perfect partner so we don't have to deal with the rejection in this case, will give us such intense rejection that we're forced to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it forces us into a crisis, which is why I refer to it as a soul shock, because it's often that we're pushed into such crisis by this that we go deep into ourselves and start dealing with our stuff, if that makes any sense.
Oh, it definitely. I definitely did with my situation. It definitely, and it was interesting that even though it was just a spiritual connection, he was my best teacher. He was a blessing in that way because he really pushed me to look inside and to clear everything up and really take responsibility for all my issues and deal with them. So it, even though it's just like I keep asking, can we just meet? 5 minutes, that's all I want.
Yeah.
And he kept saying, and literally he would say no. He just won't answer to it. So I have to admit, he's getting closer. But he was very good at kind of teaching me to look within and deal with a lot of childhood issues and other issues that I came in with. So
that's not uncommon. And this is the same in my situation, too, that we're forced to face the residual things that we haven't dealt with and to clear the decks. So it's not just the past life karma with a person. It's what we've accrued in this life, too.
Right.
And there's some very interesting parallels. If you, for instance, read a person who's got, say, an issue of rejection, you read the other person, you'll find it's the same issue, although it might manifest differently. In some cases it's power, in some cases it's trust, but it seems to mirror both parties.
Oh, definitely. And don't you think that's one reason why they're brought together, so they both deal with it?
Yes, yes. And it's that mirroring and these cycles that, after reading all these cases, I think like 700, you could see the patterns, and that's really what I wanted to lay out, is to say, look, let's take a pretty hard metaphysical look at why this stuff happens. I'm often accused of being very unromantic, but that wasn't it. I wanted something that was very practical and stood up with some cases to try and make sense for myself.
Excellent. And if we do have a call, I want to welcome the call and thank them for listening.
Hey, Jen, this is Brant.
Hi, Brant. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great. What's your question for Steve?
Steve, I have a question. As someone who would be a novice, what is a good way or a good book for Reiki to discover a little bit more about it? Are there any good books or...
Well, hi, Brant. Thanks for calling. I would love to help you on that, but to be honest with you, I practiced all my Reiki back in the UK, and it was a little while since I actually bought any publications on it. So I'm really sorry. I wouldn't be able to help you.
Okay.
I'd like to.
Oh, then, no, I appreciate it.
But I definitely recommend Reiki.
Well, also, there's a lot of great sites on the Internet on Reiki.
Well, I know through like martial arts field and stuff like that, they do use Reiki quite a bit, and the guys that I've worked out with have said that it's worked well. So I was just kind
often of... Reiki will lead you to other methodologies as well. I don't actually practice Reiki anymore per se, but it's a very excellent practice to start. And because I live in the U.S. now, so I wouldn't be licensed over here anyway, but. I think, as Jen says, there's a lot of stuff around about it. It's just, unfortunately, I haven't had any experience of that recently.
Grant, I can send you some great websites that will really instruct you and give you a background about it and other information and even show you some of the symbols and things because I've done a little research in that as well. So I'll make that available to you.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. So, I mean, you do energy work. Do you feel like there's energy work that you have to use that somebody could do to calm down the symptoms of finding a soulmate?
Definitely, yes. And in fact, there's a couple in the book. I've changed what energy work I do. I no longer practice Reiki or Qigong per se. What I've done is developed a couple of things where people can do their own energy work rather than me or anybody else do it for them. I believe that's got several benefits. One is it's introducing people to that they can work on their own energies, which is ultimately better for them because they're less likely to do anything with their own energies that they don't want done.
Right.
Secondly, that they're more in control. And thirdly, that they can gain a greater understanding of how their energies work. And certainly, with regards to soul connections, the karma, the pull, what's often called the soulmate pull, can be very intense, as you know, and can almost be a physical pain
mm-hmm.
sometimes. And that's due to the tension between the two soul energies, trying to sort of pull you together to work everything out. So it's almost like a piece of elastic, isn't it, trying to pull you together. That is effective mainly on three chakras, the tummy or sacral chakra, the heart, and the third eye. And so by doing some meditation to temper that, we don't break the connection, but what we do is we make that pressure less. And I teach one where a visualization of a circle, clearing energy out of a circle, and putting, visualizing a wall of crystal that's very powerful. It actually works very well.
Now, are you going to be teaching classes soon in the U.S. with this? Or is
well, I live in the state of Florida where none of my licenses in the UK are valid anywhere, and they're certainly not in the state of Florida because you can't even practice Reiki with a massage license. So what I tend to do is I just tend to teach meditation over the phone. I haven't arranged any classes yet, but I may do down the line.
So you could do like a teleconference class?
Yeah, or I may actually teach classes, one-to-one classes, but I've just been going through the immigration process for the last 3 years, so that's kept me pretty busy as well.
I'm sure it has.
And it's now my status has changed to permanent resident. That also makes it easier for me.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations indeed. So, some of the, what else would you, I don't want to use Warn, but kind of, I guess Warn is really, when you know you've, it's just, karma and the soulmate pull and the shock, as you put it. Is there any other symptoms besides the pulling, the insanity, that you can really want to go over to warn people, to give them a heads up on what they might be feeling or going through?
Sure. The first thing, obviously, is you realize there's something different about this person. You realize there's something that you can't get over, there's something greater than the person themselves, and go through the insanity and say, why this person, why do I feel that about this person? Soul connections can trigger varying degrees of spiritual awakening, and so we can have, as well as the physical symptoms that we've described, we can have a feeling of sort of being in a different reality, walking around like destiny or reality has changed somehow, and we don't quite know what's happened. The symptoms of spiritual awakening, when a soul actually is awakened to a higher level of energy, can be dreams, visions, even up to actual spirit manifestations. So as we are, as a soul is awakening to this new reality of the energy universe, and all the things that happen on the energy plane, we can start experiencing that. And of course, the synchronicities, the numbers 11 and 22 appearing, the person's name appearing everywhere, all of these signs that are meant to awaken us to the dimension of energy where destiny, karma, and all these things play out. So it is this huge wake-up call from what we conventionally thought we knew to this whole new level. And certainly in mine, I had actual spirits manifest and things levitate, so not many people can get that bad, but it can get pretty crazy. But it's this reality change thing that most people will have most problem with.
Yes, and we do have a caller.
Yes, hello.
Hello, thank you for calling and thank you for listening. What's your question for Steve?
Hi, it's kind of just a hypothetical. If two people who have previous connections, karma, shared karma, consciously would like soul to soul, if that was possible in this 3D world, wanted to neutralize their karma?
Hi.
And hypothetically, what would happen?
Sorry, I missed the last part. Did you say wanted to neutralize their karma?
Yeah, well, say that making a mutual agreement to dissolve their debts to each other, or their, you know, their good and bad.
Yeah.
Say they just wanted to clean the slate.
Yeah, if they can work together, absolutely, and have undergone the individual changes as well. Absolutely, there's no reason they can't, because, in fact, I know of many cases, and a situation I was in was the same, where we came back together and we agreed to negate everything and forgive and forget, but in this case it was not going to be in a relationship. So as long as both parties are willing and both parties have gone through the change and the understanding of what they needed to learn from it, yes.
And then, hypothetically, they would move on.
Yeah. Yeah, because the karma is to take us through these challenges of greater spirituality, understanding these amazing forces, understanding all of this spiritual stuff that goes on, and to learn the lessons that we talked about earlier, whether we have rejection issues, or power issues, or self-esteem issues, and we can come back together with the other person and both, you know, admit our wrongs, apologize, and agree, and that would negate the karma. It's not necessary to have a relationship.
Okay. And if I may ask, this is probably requires a much more in-depth study, but when does it ever end?
Good question!
It ends when humans stop knowing better or of being frightened of it and follow the path they're meant to follow. That's not meant to be a tricky answer. It's true, it's meant to... It's when we can realize a connection and go into it with no fear, totally open, be prepared to be led wherever it leads. And that's the thing that challenges us to get rid of all our issues. And so the karma will remain there until we do that, which is why these things often run for a very long time. Does
yes,
that make
I
any
can...
sense?
Yes. And just one more quick thing. Term grace, which you know, I equate with, say, divine forgiveness or something of that nature.
Yeah.
How do, in your philosophy, how does that factor in?
Everything is a creation of the divine. I don't see it about forgiveness as such, but about learning that. I always feel that, and certainly all the evidence is there, that soul connections are a creation of the divine, and that they're there to wake us up as human beings to the master creator and the powers of the universe, because usually for some people this is their first real experience of that amazing power. Yeah, so they're really, I would say that if human free will could overrule everything, soulmates would never come together and most of us wouldn't work through our stuff, because there's not this force there teaching us to do that and tying us together through past lives to make us go through this process to understand that we are just very small entities in a very big universe and that we actually aren't in control. So I see the whole thing about being a product of the divine, if that makes sense.
It does. You know, I struggle with free will versus, you know, the interconnectedness of everything and inner and outer reality and
yeah,
the whole bit. It's just fascinating. But well,
it is. I agree. It's the most fascinating part of it all. And the thing that I always put my money on is the divine, because I haven't yet seen human free will persist long enough to overcome destiny. As I say, it just delays it for a while, but I think that's the trick we're meant to learn.
Yes.
Well, I'll let you get back to your interesting conversation, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
So, I got a question for you. Is it helpful to know what the past life is in some of these relationships? Or does it really matter?
Well, it's a question of context. I don't necessarily feel it is, you see, because if we're, as you well know, if we're reading for somebody who's in one of these situations, generally they want to know what the heck is happening.
Right.
And so there's usually quite a process to go through for each of us and for the people we're working with to take it from a situation of why isn't this relationship working to that next level of what is this all about, because it's not just about the relationship and that realization of the spiritual level and the whole destiny thing. Which usually comes after what I call ego death, when the brain just stops fighting it and says, look, there is something crazy, I just have to accept it. Now, at that point, I always try to sort of explain the process and look at what the karma is. For instance, if it's fear of rejection, sometimes it goes back to parents, and the person's come into the person's life to clear up some karma that was passed down from the parents. Maybe the person would have felt emotionally rejected and carried out through the relationships, so this is meant to stop all of that. Rarely do I find it necessary to go into past lives, although that has happened.
Okay. And when you have had to go into it, was it more to understand what the process was about, to understand what the lesson was supposed to be
yes.
learned? Because it wasn't very apparent.
Yes, there's one classic case. I obviously won't say who, but the couple both came into this life with very fixed ideas on what careers they wanted to do. And these were very unusual careers, very fixed ways about them that were quite unusual. Can't give too much detail, but let's say it was very strange that they
okay.
both knew this from a very young age, that they both knew the sort of person they'd meet. They had this incredible knowledge of each other, even though they hadn't met. And when we went back into past life, we realized they'd even taken up the old professions.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, one person wanted to do something that's particularly unusual. The other person wanted to do something that's particularly unusual. She always knew she'd meet a man that did this job. He always knew he'd meet a woman who did this job. And we went into the past life, and sure enough, that's where they left off.
So it really did answer the question exactly. But did it answer why it was just they just wanted to continue to see life?
Excuse me. One of them died tragically in the past life, and it was at a point where nothing had been resolved at all, so they sort of came back to... and it was quite a bizarre situation. It was quite out of the ordinary. But it was a lot of external intervention as well. So they didn't really, either of them, have much free will, but... when they came back and when we looked at all this, all the pieces plugged together. But generally, I tend to take the line that don't worry about what happened in the past life, it's gone. How do we deal with it in this one?
Right. Right. And there is, you in the book, there's amazing information of all kinds of different things to help you get through this and just to understand it. So I really do tell a lot of people to go to that book. A lot of my clients would say if it's just like overwhelming, everything, I help them the best I can, and I say, go get Steve's book.
There's also a discussion board on one of my sites, psychicguidance.net. You don't have to have a reading with me. It's just for people to discuss these things. And it's there's some great people on there, and they understand what it's like to go through it. So we all share on there.
Excellent. And we have another caller. Hello, caller.
Hi, Jen. It's Chris.
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Steve, I just ordered your book off of Amazon.
Oh, and great. Thank you. Hi, Chris.
I got to read it. I didn't believe in soulmates. Now, the man I'm married to right now, he believes in soulmates. And since I've gotten to know Jen, I've learned a little bit more that soulmates can be friends that smile at you. And they pass by and you made eye contact, they smiled. That could be a soulmate. And I've been married, like, too many times. And I came up with a joke, and I don't know, maybe it's not a joke, maybe it's just irony, but I believe that they're connected to me in past life, every single one of them, because even though our marriage is dissolved, you know, there's still care and respect and that connection.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Soulmates don't need to be just the romantic kind or the majority of it. And likewise, you can have a soulmate connection with somebody and still have a terrific relationship with somebody else.
And then I just recently learned, like maybe 48 hours ago, actually, we were talking about you. Jen shared with me that an animal can be a soulmate.
Yeah, any souls, yeah. Yeah, any souls. Anything that has a soul can be, yeah.
Okay, now, since someone walking down the street and they make eye contact and they smile at you, that's a soulmate?
Okay, I think this is where the definition becomes difficult.
It
because
is.
Because technically, anybody who you've met in any form in a past life is a soul connection. Now, obviously, you meet somebody walking down the street and you pass and you smile, you haven't got a lot of karma where you've got to leave partners and rush together. So technically, yes. It's just that they're not what we would classically call soulmates because usually they're the ones with the big karma that caused all the trauma.
So
but yes,
then
technically
the woman
right.
who was speaking earlier about releasing the karmic ties, would that be a karmic tie release? Like you don't have any unresolved business anymore? But you're just passing by and saying...
Yeah, I mean, if they don't come into your life in some sort of devastating way, there's no huge karma to release. For instance, a soul connection could be a lecturer at college, somebody who guides you in a certain way that you sort of have a bit of a connection with. It doesn't have to be heavy, doesn't have to be romantic, just you feel connected to them. And it would be something from a past life, but it's something where there's not a ton of residual karma. It's just that they've helped you and guided you. It can also be a parent in certain unusual cases.
Now, like I said, I just ordered your book off of intuitive gut feeling. What am I looking for in your book? That's an intuitive question, by the way.
I'm sorry, I just missed the first part of that because the line's a little bit crackling.
What is it? Because I ordered your book knowing that whatever it is that I wanted to know is going to be in there.
Okay.
And
you want me to tell you what it is in the book that
yeah,
you want to know?
I didn't even read the reviews. I went strictly on impulse, and trust me, that doesn't happen too often with Christina.
Well, thanks. I hope it works for you. I feel it will probably be the bit about karma, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I tend to agree.
I'm sorry?
I tend to agree.
Yeah.
Do you really, Jen? Okay,
yeah.
Do agree. Must be.
I don't like to do readings, sort of particular cases in public. It's just an ethical thing, really. But I feel it will be about the karma.
Okay.
Because I do feel that you're a very evolved soul and you have had lots of lessons and you're pretty well on the path
everybody
now.
Everybody tells me I'm an old soul.
Yeah.
I say I'm between 2,000 and 3,000 years old.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, as you probably know, every old soul spends the first part of their life trudging through the karma, so
yeah.
Well, I'm sure you're doing fine.
Anyways, you're awesome. I hope you come back.
Oh, he will be back.
Well,
yay!
Bless you. Thanks. It's great to talk to you.
So, and we've got a lot of people on the call, so it was hard to get in.
Oh, cool.
All right. Thanks, Jen.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Karma is a big part of people understanding the soulmate relationship and the different types of relationships between people, don't you think?
Yeah. Excuse me. And to understand why it's necessary for the perfect partner to be whisked away.
Yeah.
You often hear right people, wrong time, but I think it's probably right people, right time, because I spent a lot of time, excuse me, I need to cough. Sorry, a little bit of a cold. I spent a lot of time interviewing people who come back together, and they change so much. Each one had gone through this process, had changed their own journey of inner release, putting away lots of old fears, insecurities. It's a very cleansing process, albeit a very difficult process. And somebody came back into my life after a few years, I didn't even recognize physically. The change was quite profound. Mm-hmm. But yes, going into it, it's very difficult to understand why this has to happen. So usually, soulmates make great sense in hindsight, but quite the opposite at the beginning.
And sometimes in the middle and towards the end as well.
Excuse me. Yeah.
It all depends on the situation. And
well, a classic case of karma, if I could just give you another example, would be there's a couple who both have been in very abusive relationships, and their karma was clearly power, assertion of power. The female had had a lot of difficulties with her family, particularly the males in her family, and had been in very damaging relationships, and had become very subservient, and had met the wrong sort of guys for the wrong sort of reasons, and had just perpetuated that abuse cycle. And so when she met her soul coach and her self-esteem was on the deck, he was in a similar situation because of some parents deserted him at a very young age. So he'd been with women who'd been very controlling and powerful, and he'd made himself subservient to them. So his self-esteem had gone down. So when the two met, they were the perfect answer for each other, but neither of them had come into their power. Neither of them had cleared that karma to be able to release all of that stuff and be the people they're meant to be. So over the intervening years, they managed to do that. When they came back together, they were two individually happy, well-adjusted people having released all of that. So that would be another example of the karma that they had to clear.
So basically, though, if soulmates are supposed to be together, they really do. I mean, there is some cases where they work through the karma together in a relationship, correct?
They have to go through their individual
stuff. Or do they have to go separately?
They have to go through their individual stuff first, like we talked about, for instance, the rejection stuff, and then together can go on and work through the joint stuff. Or as one of the previous callers talked about, can just get together and agree and set the record straight and apologize and forgive.
Right.
Yeah. So they don't have to be together in a relationship.
Okay. But it is possible that they are.
Oh, gosh, yes, absolutely. But that's the free will part. You do have the choice at the end. So, yes, many are. But it's not in terms of the destiny side of things. It's not essential. So, for instance, if for whatever reason, which happens in some cases, one person can forgive the other person but couldn't be with them because of the pain that's been caused,
right,
that will still negate the karma. And they can move on and it's settled.
And you go, yay!
The connection never goes, but it's
no.
Not painful because you've had the conclusion and it's negated it.
Yeah.
And the surprising thing is, and this happened in what happened to me as well, when you come back and you have just one conversation, just the energy just dissipates, everyone forgives, and it just dissipates.
It really does.
Yep. Surprisingly, actually, I've heard many people say this. They've carried this for years, and then they get that one phone call, and it's just gone like it was never there. Not gone in a bad way, but everything's at peace.
Right. Right. It definitely does. And we probably could talk a little bit longer, but we will have you back on. And
thank you.
I have asked Steve to come back on February 14th. I thought Valentine's Day would be a great day to have him back on to talk more about soulmates and karma and a few other subjects as well. And I would like to remind people that you can go to Steve's website, www.stevegunn, and that's with two N's, .net, to get more information. And his site is just magnificent with so much information. And he does have many ways of contacting him and talking to other people about soulmates and karma. So I want to thank you again for staying up late when you're not feeling top shape and talking.
It's been great. Thank you.
It's wonderful talking to you, Steve. And I would like to wish everybody a happy holiday. And thank you very much for listening tonight. And also say, with each breath of air, we do hope you gained new insights and inspirations. I am Jennifer Hellman. Many blessings to you, and good night.